The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, but you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar's or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Gospel we just heard contains one of the greatest one-liners that has been remembered throughout the ages, and we remember ourselves today. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. The answer was to the question, is it lawful to pay tax or not? Remember, this question was asked by the Pharisees who sent their disciples with some members called the Herodians. These two groups were different politically. The Pharisees, they belonged to the Sanhedrin, the traditions of the Jewish people. They felt the tax was not due to the Romans. Roman Empire was an invading power, and therefore they were unwilling to pay the tax to Caesar. While the Herodians, they were followers of King Herod. King Herod was a puppet king put there by the Romans. And therefore, he advanced the causes of the Roman Empire. But the Pharisees had gathered these two groups to ask Jesus this question. And the question was an evil. They were trying to entrap Jesus in some kind of statement in order to embarrass him. If he had said, yes, pay the taxes, then the Pharisees would say, well, you are against the people, against the Jewish state and tradition. If he said, do not pay the tax, then the Herodians would have reported him to the king, and Jesus would get in trouble. So both ways, the question was asked to put Jesus in a kind of entrapment. But we know how Jesus answered. in the end, he says, pay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. There has been a multitude of interpretation what this means, but at the moment, he was able to get out of the entrapment. What does it mean to pay what belongs to Caesar and to give to God what belongs to God? But there are things that the state can demand of us. The state provides certain services. State has an obligation to administer justice between a person and another, between a group and another. The state provides certain benefits for an orderly society. And therefore, the state has a right to demand taxes. But there are other things that do not belong to the state. We can think of the right to life that we prayed at the beginning of this Mass. Life is something that we have not received from the state. The state has nothing to do with that. The right to life, the right to expression, the right of assembly, the right of gathering to worship God. These things are beyond the power of the state. And therefore, the state should not legislate in these areas. These rights, the United States constitutions speak of the inalienable rights. These are rights given to us by our nature, and our nature was given to us by God. And therefore, the state has no right to legislate on these things. In practical life, what belongs to the state and what belongs to God, sometimes these rights overlap. Therefore, sometimes it's difficult to distinguish what belongs to God, what belongs to the state. It's interesting that the Lord, in today's Gospel, asked for a coin. And he said to those people, whose image is that? And they answered, the image is the image of Caesar. So Jesus says, because the state produces money and prints money, give to the state what belongs to the state. But man, the human being, has another image. And we read it about it in the first pages of the Bible, that man is made in the image and likeness of God. We have the image and likeness of God in us. Man is a spirit created by God. We come into this world through our parents, but it is God that gives us that image. We are made with certain qualities that is beyond our control, beyond the control of the state. And therefore we should live according to that image. When it's a question of doubt whether to follow the state or to follow what belongs to God, God has written a law within us. We are not only the image of God, but God also helps us to know what is right and what is wrong, our conscience. So we always have to examine ourselves. What is this? Is it right or is it wrong? Sometimes we don't need other agencies and other powers to tell us what is the right thing, because God has written it within our mind and our heart, what is right, what is wrong, our conscience. So we follow our conscience, but it has to be an informed conscience. The conscience that comes instinctively, but also formed by our parents who have instilled in us certain values. The conscience is formed also by the principles of the gospel and the principles of our religion. And once we put that all together, we know what is right and we know what is wrong. And we surrender to God, to God what is God, and we surrender to Caesar what is Caesar. But we should never, in the end, ultimately, we should never surrender our consciences, because that is an informed conscience is the ultimate rule of life.